Hello and welcome to Tales of the Prodigal's Elder Brother. I'm Mike Moore. Episode 6, The Mathematics of Grace. Grace is one of those words that get tossed around all the time in religious circles, until it's been decades since anyone really thought about what the ideas behind the words were, like the words glory and blessing and holiness. If grace is indeed the good stuff from God that we do not deserve, then health, prosperity, peace, love, unity, harmony, and all of those other intangible things that make life bearable and worthwhile come only from Him, and only if He wishes. He owes them to no one, and no one can earn them or deserve them by doing much of anything at all, nor abstaining from anything either. Trying to make blessing nothing more than mere wages, something you've earned, depersonalizes it. Leaving it grace allows it to continue to be a display of God's love rather than His fairness or whatever. Grace is linked to lenience, mercy, forgiveness, charity, generosity, and the like. It flows out from a full heart, and the possessor chooses who gets to benefit from it and owes it to no one. God didn't owe us a get-out-of-hell-free card, and Christ didn't owe us His life given in exchange for ours. God doesn't owe us a life that lasts past this second, anyone who loves us, any happiness, harmony, or peace at all. Church groups who think otherwise, who for instance think that keeping their doctrine immaculate and their lives free of fleshly pursuits will always and of necessity result in God fostering love and unity and harmony among them, soon learn otherwise. If, for instance, you are taught this formula, Jesus first, others next, and yourself last equals J-O-Y, joy, then you are being lied to. There is no formula to guarantee joy. There are many ways to honestly try and do this and still be miserable, and there are many happy people that didn't get that way this way. If you are taught this formula, read your Bible and pray and attend church equals blessing, then you are being lied to again. There is no formula that guarantees blessing. If you do all these things, God may or may not choose to bless you as it pleases Him. In either case, you will not have earned it or changed His mind about anything. Also, people who do none of these three things will be blessed by God right in front of you and more than once. For me, the equation went like this. Read your Bible, pray, attend church, and you'll want to kill yourself. Just doing these things, in and of themselves, wasn't working at all. It was why and how I did each thing, and what happened then, and what was generally going on at the time, that decided what the effect of these efforts was. If anyone teaches you garbage in equals garbage out, then you're being lied to again. God made a world that has formulas like this one in operation all the time. Cow manure, plus maggots and bugs, plus rotting cabbage and coffee grounds equals daffodils and carrots. With the human body, we can put the best of things in, and we all know what comes out. Also, Jesus did things like dirt plus spit equals a cure for blindness, and, his big one, pain plus shame plus death plus sin equals eternal life and the salvation of the human race. God gets off on doing stuff like this. He doesn't like to be predictable or obvious. He uses idiots to confound the wise. He chooses uneducated people to speak His heart as to things the educated know nothing of, and so on. A wise man speaking wisdom is pretty ordinary stuff. An idiot who suddenly starts speaking rare and precious wisdom is proof positive that God is at work and is interacting with us in ways other than our precious idea of a God who works by setting things in motion and then sitting back to watch fondly or taking off to leave us to it. We don't always share His enthusiasm for the unexpected, because like the prodigal son's dutiful brother, we want it to go like this. Obedience plus duty minus wastefulness equals happiness, celebration with demonstrated love and popularity. But in fact, it sometimes goes more like this. Waywardness plus wastefulness plus whoring around equals forgiveness, happiness, celebration with demonstrated love and popularity. The fact is that God blesses, shows grace, is kind to people who don't deserve it. He likes doing that. He even shows grace to and blesses the very people who don't deserve it most, and passes by people who are genuinely nicer, better people as far as morality goes. God doesn't bless based on morality. Oh my. God lets Abel be killed for being good. and Cain safely live to see the human race unfolding. He sees Jacob be blessed over Esau, the prostitute Rahab be the salvation of Israel in Jericho. Manasseh is blessed over Ephraim despite being younger. Saul is king of Israel because he's tall. David gets to remain king after using his royal authority to get the husband of a woman he impregnated killed. Nineveh lives once they repent due to the teachings of the worst, yet most successful prophet ever. And the prodigal son is made a fuss over rather than his dutiful brother. God does this stuff on purpose. When it comes time for a son to be born in a human way on earth, the lineage of said son includes Jacob, the prostitute Rahab, adulterous, murderous David, and the fruit of his infidelity, Solomon, author of the book of erotic poetry, The Song of Solomon. And when Jesus is walking around in Jerusalem, he has forsworn the literate, the educated, the entire hierarchy of religious authority in the city, and is seen with lepers, prostitutes, illiterate sailors, revolutionaries, and people who are quick to cut your ear off with their sword if they don't like what you're saying. His reason? They need him and appreciate him. The people who've been living carefully and following rules don't get along with him because they don't want to need grace. They don't want to feel they need it because they want to earn everything themselves through their wonderful religion and their willpower, their ability to say no to things. And they certainly don't want people with questionable past to receive the favor of God. Thing is, God deals through grace. That's what we need, and that's how it works, and a good thing too. There really isn't any higher standard for goodness, value, and perfection than God's. So, you want him giving you stuff for free and enjoying it, not him assessing the worth of your best efforts and seeing everything wrong with it. And what hope is there for someone born into self-righteousness, someone who doesn't get grace, someone who judges, oppresses, and mistreats the people that are beneficiaries of God's grace? Well, if your name is Saul of Tarsus, you can end up writing most of the New Testament and filling the world with more writing on the subject of grace than anyone.